Hello and welcome. Thank you so much for joining us here today, and I hope that you are having a great day where you are. It's a beautiful day here. It's a little bit cloudy, but it's not nearly as hot as it has been in recent weeks, and actually unusually cool for us this time of the year, and I'm very, very thankful for that. But you know, far more than the weather, what makes this day so good is the fact that we have the opportunity to know God. That God has in fact created us for the purpose of knowing Him. God has in fact brought us to salvation so that we can know Him. He made a plan of salvation. He sent His Son to live, die, and rise again for our sins. He's brought us to that salvation. Through His Spirit, He reveals Himself to us. He wants us to know Him, and He's given us this time, these means for us to meet together. And I'm very thankful for Jonathan and Nikki for all that they do to help make these times possible. But again, you think about the fact that all of this is a gift from God because He wants us to know Him. And that's why these times are so special for me, and I pray that they are for you as well. They help me to grow in my walk, in my relationship with the Lord, and I hope that they do the same for you. And since God has made us for Himself, brought us to a relationship, given us this time to grow in a relationship, let's take a moment and go to Him in prayer as we begin our time together. Father, thank You for this day. Lord, for Your eternal love for us. Father, for Your goodness, Your grace, Your wonder. Father, thank You for Your word that You have inspired and preserved. For Your Spirit, O God, that gives us the understanding, the interpretation, and the way that You speak to us through that. Father, thank You that You want us to know You. You created us for that and have redeemed us for that. Father, take our time together today to meet with You, to hear from You, to grow in You. Lord God, let us know You and Your ways, we pray. Father, thank You for being so good to us, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. And again, I hope that you are having an absolutely wonderful day and a wonderful season in your life, but also know it's very possible that you might not be. You may, in fact, be going through some very difficult times and circumstances in your life right now. You may, in fact, almost feel like you're overwhelmed or about to be swept away. And it's certainly easy for us to be that way. First of all, when we look at our condition, our circumstances as a nation, how we are imploding and coming apart, how when we look at the world situation, and again, circumstances within our own life. And yet amazingly, as we open God's word to Psalm 47, we see these words. Oh, clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with a voice of joy. And I read that, and we've all gone through times, and you may be going through one of those right now, where you say, you know, I obviously ought to be able to praise and thank the Lord, but there's no way that I can lift up a voice of joy, a shout of joy to God right now with everything going on in my life. And yet, as we continue looking at this psalm, we see real solid reasons for you and I to have confidence in the Lord, and as a result of that confidence, to truly be able to experience joy. In spite of what we see taking place in our nation, in spite of whatever we may actually be going through in our life. Well, what is it about God that should enable us to be able to rejoice in Him, even in the midst of a difficult situation or circumstance or days like these that we live in? Well, the first thing that we see as we can work our way through this psalm is God's sovereignty. By sovereignty, I mean that God's an absolute, complete and total control. He rules. He reigns. There is, obviously, although Satan is in rebellion against God's rule and reign, he will not succeed. God has unchallenged power. Or again, Satan is trying to challenge it, but it will not work. But God's power will, in fact, never be exceeded. God's power will, in fact, never be undone. God's rule will always stand. His sovereignty, His reign, as Him being the King. Think about what we see in verse 2. For the Lord Most High is to be feared, a great King over all the earth. You think about that King over all the earth. God is, in fact, the one who rules and reigns. God ultimately controls all things. Yes, Satan is obviously in rebellion against God. Obviously, he in this present time, has control of this, what we call the world system, man's society apart from God. And obviously, Satan has those who serve him, both demonic and human. And I'm not in any way doubting their reality, nor their power, nor their reach. But the truth of the matter is they can only go as far as God allows them to go. And he only allows them to go so far that it fulfills his ultimate plan and purpose. Our God truly reigns. Psalm 115 verse 3 says, "But our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases." The background of that psalm is the psalmist looks around all the fake gods who can't do anything, and he makes the contrast there. But our God, the God of Israel, the true living God, the God of the Bible, our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. The reason we can rejoice in God is the fact that he rules. He, in fact, reigns. He is, in fact, absolutely in absolute, complete, and total control. Our God does, in fact, reign. We are not, our lives are not controlled by happenstance, by luck. Our circumstances don't determine what becomes of us. Our God truly rules and he reigns. But then notice as well, not only do we have God's sovereignty, but we also have God's purposes. Think about what we see in verses 3 through 4, and I mean specifically his purposes for us. He subdues people under us and nations under our feet. He chooses our inheritance for us, the glory of Jacob, whom he loves. Looking back on the conquest and the occupation of the promised land, God had delivered them, his people, out of Egypt. God, in fact, gave them victory. They won the land, or God gave them victory to win the land. God gave it to them as their inheritance. You know, what a picture for us. The plans he has for us in this life. And nothing can, in fact, prevent those plans. And certainly the plans he has for us in eternity. But you think about the fact that God's purposes for us will stand. And nothing in this world system, nothing that Satan can do can stop that, end that, thwart that, or slow that. God's plans, his purposes for us. You think about what we read in Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for well-being and not for calamity, that you might have a future and a hope." You think about what we read in 1 Corinthians 2:9. "But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him." Now, we're probably familiar with that verse. You may have heard it many times. Unfortunately, where we normally hear it is a funeral message. And certainly it applies. I mean, we cannot even begin to comprehend the beauty, the wonder, the splendor of heaven. But if you look at the context, Paul is not talking about what we experience after death. He's talking about what we are to experience in our Christian life. Now, even in the circumstances that you may be in, even in the circumstances that we are facing as a nation, even as we look at this world, God has purposes for us that nothing can stop or hinder. Wonderful plans for us. And we can rejoice, you know, even in a difficult circumstance, that God's not going to leave us. He's not going to abandon us. God is, in fact, going to carry us through. He's going to carry us through for our ultimate well-being and blessing. As we read in Romans 28, he causes all things to work together for the good of those that love God, to those called according to his purpose. We have God's purposes. We can rest in that. We can know that whatever it is we're facing today is part of God's plan, and he's going to work it out for our good, our blessing, and yes, for his glory. But again, I know many times we look at this, we think, okay, God has this plan, this purpose, but think about where we are now, how are we going to get there? I don't see it. Well, look at number 3. We have God's victory. Look at verses 5 through 7. "God has ascended with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a skillful song." The picture there, the imagery there, is of a victorious warrior king returning from battle with all that he has in fact captured. The undisputed conqueror. That's exactly who our Lord is. Now, again, I know we look at current events, and many times it's easy to become angry, worried, anxious, but our Lord is, in fact, the victorious King. Now, that's not to imply that we're not to be active and engaged. If there's ever a time that our nation needs us, we believers, to be active and engaged, it is now. This is an election year. We're having a, in case you didn't know that, you probably have heard that somewhere. But as we think about this election, we need to be active and engaged. We need to vote biblically, righteously. Or, if you find a hard time doing that, vote against that which is the most unrighteous and the most unbiblical and the most ungodly. We need to be active. We need to be engaged. So this is not just merely saying, you know, God's going to work everything out. He truly, He will, but we're to be faithful in our time. But this is to have the assurance in our heart that God will, in fact, win victory no matter what happens. Not just, you know, it come November in the election, but even what happens in terms of our nation. Yes, we're to be active, we're to be engaged, we're to be faithful, we're to occupy until the Master returns. But I'm talking about the assurance, the confidence in our heart. God will in fact win. He is in fact the victorious King. God is in fact going to win. And think with me. You know, we studied the Scriptures. We're not seeing anything that our Lord didn't tell us is exactly how it would be. Well, if our Lord told us very frankly, this is going to be the condition of things as you approach the end of the age, whenever that may be, but we certainly see the trend in that direction. If our Lord knew that was what it was going to be, doesn't stand to reason they also knew how He was going to make it, how He was going to win? We serve a victorious warrior King. We can have absolute confidence in Him, whether we're talking about prophetic events or whether we're talking about the circumstances in our life. He is, in fact, the victorious warrior King. But then notice why else we can rejoice in the Lord. And that is, in fact, God's nature. That is simply who He is, should make us rejoice. Look at verses 8 and 9. God reigns over the nations. God sits on His holy throne. The princes of the people have assembled themselves as the people of the God of Abraham's, for the shield of the earth belongs to God. He is highly exalted. Look at what it says there. It talks there about His holy throne. That means that God is set apart. He is different. Not only is He morally different and separated, but just His very being is in fact perfect. Absolute perfect goodness. Absolute perfect righteousness. You know, John was inspired to write it this way when he said in 1 John chapter 1, verse 5, "This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there's no darkness at all." You think about that. God is light. You think about the noonday sun on a cloudless day, when just that absolute brilliant light, and that's, by the way, that's just a poor illustration of our God. That's the best one we can come up with our little minds. God is perfect light. There's not even a shadow in God's nature. You think about, you know, sometimes we struggle with trusting another individual. Maybe, you know, as we get to know them, we know that we, you know, most of the time, most of the situations, they're good, they're pleasant, but you cross them in this area. Or you deal in this part of their life, and it's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, not with God. He is light. We can trust the One who's in fact perfect light. You think about what we see over in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Where it says, "For a child will be born to us," a prophecy of our Lord before His birth. "A son will be given to us, and the government will rest on His shoulders. And His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." Now, I know most of the time we read wonderful as an adjective, Wonderful Counselor. But when you look close, it's not an adjective. It is a name unto itself. His name shall be called Wonderful. Counselor. It's not an adjective. It is, in fact, the name of God Himself. He is wonderful. And the reality is, no matter how much you get to know them, again, some human, you know, human beings, sooner or later, there's a part of their life that just not quite like it should be. And unfortunately, as humans, we all wrestle with that, but not God. No matter how much you get to know God, no matter how deep you get into His heart, no matter how much you learn of His character and watch Him work, He is light. Always light. Always perfect light. His very nature makes Him worthy of our trust. You think about that great sovereign God we talked about a moment ago, the one who has all those plans, that one who's in fact the victorious warrior king. He is in fact wonderful. You think of great emperors and rulers of history who conquered and ruled and reigned, whether it's the Caesars or the Alexanders, or you could go on from there. All of them had sides and elements that were very, very sinful and quite frankly very frightening if they were crossed. God is light. His very nature, this unlimited king, they were but limited in time and in the places that they ruled and reigned. He's unlimited. He's victorious over all. He is wonderful. And we can trust Him simply because of who He is. This is again why it's so important for us to get to know Him. The more we know Him, the more wonderful we see that He is. And the more wonderful that we see that He is, we'll be able to trust Him. His very nature. And again, you may be going through some very difficult times in your life right now. And I'm not trying to belittle that. But I'm trying to turn our hearts and our attentions to this wonderful God that we have. This wonderful God who is, in fact, the one who's sovereign and victorious. The one who has wonderful plans for us and who by His very nature is wonderful. Trust Him. Follow Him. Cling to Him. Obey Him, and even in the midst of it, sing unto Him. Because if you trust Him and follow Him, the day is coming when you will sing for joy over what He's done. We can trust Him. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You for who You are, what You've done, what You are doing, and what You will do. Father, You're not only sovereign, You are truly wonderful. You're victorious, and in Your victory You have wonderful plans for us. Father, may we trust You and cling to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I hope as you go through today that you walk with our wonderful Lord, that you know His peace, His closeness, His greatness, His glory, His sovereignty, and that you rest in Him, and that you can, in fact, rejoice in Him. And have a great day in Him.